Hopefully this has been a help to you. You know, to me, humility is one of those topics where it's like you can't get enough of it. You know, it's something that's like, man, yeah. You know, I even found myself today, I got a little frustrated with my wife, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that's not very humble. My flesh wanted to say, I didn't even apologize to her. My flesh wanted to say, no, she deserves that tongue lashing. She didn't do what you said. But no, that's not humility. And I thank God. The fact that I felt that way, you know, I'm like, praise God. You know, I could have. There's been many times I haven't felt that way. I just responded in a way that was fleshly and proud. And hopefully this has been the same experience for you, all right? That you're not just like, pastors preaching on humility again. You might need it a little more than you think, all right? Humility. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. You say, Pastor, you're going to look at this verse and you're going to say, I don't understand what this has to do with humility. I want to preach today on what does humility actually look like? What does it look like? Like, what does it look like to be humble tomorrow? Do you know? Humility. The truth of it is, it's easy to say or think that you're humble. It's quite another thing to actually be humble. In 1 John chapter 4, if you would, look at verse 20. The Bible says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? We're going to launch into this teaching tonight, but here's a sobering thought. If God measures our love for Him by the love that we have for our brothers and sisters in everyday fellowship with them, does He not do the same with humility? It's a serious thing to realize that our love for God just isn't genuine if it fails the test of daily living with our brothers and sisters. Are you getting it? What does it mean to be humble? What does it mean to be humble tomorrow? It's easy to think that you're humble. We are terrible at assessing ourselves. Generally. Mostly. Right? You ever had someone come up to you and call something out that you thought was just okay? It was just peachy? And they were right? You know, we often call it blind spots. Blind spots. It's been an adventure, my daughter learning to drive. She's learned what a blind spot is. What's the technique? Smog? What is smog? Or signal? Mirror? Over the shoulder? Go. Let's just say it was a bit like that. The driver instructor says, you need to work on your smog. I'm not meaning to embarrass her. She's gotten much better at it. She's gotten used to my little Highlander. It's got the blind spot detector in it. You know, you don't have to look over your shoulder. It tells you if there's something there. But how often do we have blind spots? Richard, you drove a truck, right? What the truck's, the signs say what? If you can't see my mirrors, I can't see you. And there's been times where trucks have merged and you're in the blind spot. Boy, that's a bad place to be. We as Christians often have blind spots. And humility and pride is often one of those blind spots. But humility, I want you to capture this tonight. If you get anything else, get this. Humility before others is the only real proof that we are practicing humility before God.
you get anything else, then I get this. Humility before others is the only real proof that we are exercising real humility before God. It's more than just your imagination. It's more than just a skewed perception of yourself. Just like love. The only way I know I love God is I show my brothers and sisters I love them. And it's the same with humility. It's the only true evidence that humility has made its home in our hearts. How can you and I know that we have done what Christ did, who made Himself of no what? Reputation. Right? Isn't that what it says in Philippians chapter 2? How do I know? How do I know that I'm Christ-like in my humility? It's by checking yourself daily. How have I treated others? What's been my attitude towards others? And we're going to get into some of the nitty-gritty of that here in a minute, okay? Gut check. I used to hate gut checks. You guys know what a gut check is? Mr. Wright, y'all met him last week. See? I could have used this last week. We would have wrestling practice and we would have to do leg lifts. How many know what leg lifts are? Right? You got to keep your back, your butt, everything against the ground, and you got to lift your legs, right? Put them together, lift them into the air. 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Woo, man! Mr. Wright used to come right and he would step on our guts. Gut check! Woo! You know, he wanted to see if, right, we were using the muscles that we need to strengthen. Not our backs, not something else. And we need a gut check. We need a reality check. We need to see, am I facing a blind spot here? Certainly in God's presence, humility seems a lot like a feeling that we have when we think about Him or we pray. But instead, humility is the very spirit, capital S, of our lives. If we're led by the Spirit of God, it will show itself in humility towards others and before others. Before our spouses, before our children. It will show itself in the way we treat our brothers and sisters. This is a crucial lesson. We've talked a lot about Christ and humility. We've talked a lot about what humility is. And what does it mean to be humble, though? How do I know if I am humble? The only humility that really belongs to us, that can be credited to us in that sense, is not what we say to God in prayer, but rather what we carry with us from prayer, from the study of the Word, and what we live out in front of others. That's real humility. What seems to be insignificant about our daily lives, that is the test. Come on now. The test if you love your brother is the seeming insignificant opportunities that arise. The little things. And I failed today. Maybe you failed too. You want to know if someone's humble? Follow them around and watch their daily life. See how they interact, mamas. Let's see how the mamas interact with the children. How the husbands react when they get home. How the children act with one another. Let's follow Cole around, right? And see how he treats his mom. Let's follow William around and see how he treats his brother. Pastor. That's a little rough. But isn't this what Jesus taught? When did Jesus teach about humility? He taught about humility. The greatest teachings He had on humility is when He saw His disciples arguing who is the greatest, or the Pharisees debating for a place of honor at the banquet. Right? He taught them again after he provided an example of humility by washing their feet. Your humility before God is nothing if it's not followed up by your humility before men. You get what I'm saying, right? You're fooling yourself. You're lying to yourself. Before you, some of you I know, some of you men I think, well, Pastor, it's just my, I'm broken cup. You're a new creature in Christ. That's lazy thinking. What we need to think is, what does Christ want me to be? And maybe it's not the rough and tough and tumble person. I think Christ was a man's man through and through. But he was gentle. And he was kind. He didn't put up with nothing. I mean, there's times he made him a whip. Right? He chased the money changers out of the temple. Did he not? But there were also times he wept. Brokenhearted. Let's look at some scriptures tonight. Paul, of course, taught the same thing in his writings to the believers. First, let's start in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Very practical. That's what I'm calling this message. What does it look like to be humble? What does humble and daily living mean? Well, Romans chapter 12, look at verse 10. Paul writes, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another." You get that? We're to be affectionate one to another. Preferring one another. In honor. Saying, you know, hey, go before me, man. You know, always thinking, they're definitely better than I am. The world will have you think, you know, that's a bad thing. The world thinks, you know, no one's better than you are. That's a worldly attitude. You know what? We'll talk about what true humility is. What is it? I've been saying it. It is the understanding that the only good I have comes from God. I am nothing. Less than nothing. The only good and value I bring is what God does through me. So guess what? How can you be greater than nothing? Right? I'm less than nothing. What a freeing heart. Look at verse 16 again. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Don't try to be important. The big shot. God says stop. Stop trying to be important. But condescend. Lower yourself to men of what? Low estate. Enjoy the company of ordinary people. I'll tell you one little thing I try to do. At work, you have the cleaning people. You have the security people. You wouldn't even know they were there. Friday, I didn't tell anybody this. It's the first time I told. One of the cleaning guys was emptying the trash. I looked at him and said, "Thank you for doing that." He didn't know what to say. Literally, oh, okay. That was his response. I sort of chuckled in my heart. I'm like, oh. Because the attitude around work, and I'm sure maybe it's this way at your work, is right? Yeah, the toilet cleaners. I'm glad they clean the toilets. Thank you. Condescend to men of low estate. Don't feel like you've got... Don't try to get to the highest table and be with the most important people. Make friends with the lowly. That's humility. That's daily living humility right there. You want to know how to apply it? There you go. Look at verse 16. He finishes up by saying, "Be not wise in your own conceits." He's saying, don't be a know-it-all. You hearing me, teenagers? Huh? Don't be a know-it-all. Because you don't know it all. You hearing me, parents? Humble yourself. Be willing to be taught. You know a little secret is, even if you know, listen. Let someone teach you. They enjoy it. That's humility. That's daily living humility. You don't always have to correct someone if they're wrong. I mean, of course, if it's something big, yeah, correct them. But they're just telling you their opinion and have a discussion of, well, that's not how it is. What purpose are you serving but sort of puffing your chest out? And there's a fine line, right? Your kid's saying 2 + 2 = 5 because they're homeschooled. You want to correct that. No, Johnny, 2 + 2 = 4. Let's work this out. You see what I mean? I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say don't correct people, but I'm saying think about how you do it. Why are you doing it? Let's go to another scripture. Man, Paul, he's a lot of good stuff. We looked at Christ, of course, and bam, a lot of teaching there. Paul has a lot of good stuff. 1 Corinthians 13. Talks about love, and love and humility are so tightly and closely intertwined. He said in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Love is not jealous. Love is not proud. Love is not boastful. Love is not rude. How do you take pride in their rudeness? Are you hearing me? That's not charity. Charity does not, love does not demand its own way. I love verse 5. Right? That idea of rudeness, unseemly, seeketh not her own. It's not about your way all the time.
Well, I'm the man of the house.
I get it, and you ought to lead your home. But there ought to be the opportunity to say, you know what, we need to sometimes talk about things. We need to have a spirit, right? An approachable spirit. He's not easily provoked. I failed on that one today. Immediately something set you off. That's not charity. That's not humility. Is not, or thinketh no evil. I like this one. Charity says, you know what? I don't immediately think the worst about someone. How often that just hurts marriages. Your spouse says something stupid, and immediately you go to the worst place. When they were just not thinking. They love you. They love you dearly. Yet your mind, what does it do? It thinks evil, right? They must think I'm fat or uglier. Right? They must be looking at other women or other men. That's thinking evil. Humility says, you know what? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. There's no maliciousness here. It's probably something unthoughtless. We all say thoughtless things. Is that how you approach things? Are you hearing me tonight? I mean, this is daily living humility. You want to practice it, this is how you do it. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 13. Then let's look at verse 26. He says in verse 13, he says, for brethren, ye've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty, what? As an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now look at verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, this is humbling, man. You think about how often we provoke, we irritate. And I'm guilty. And sometimes it's in good fun. Everybody's having fun. But sometimes we're just doing it because we want to get a rise. Right? Dads, be careful. I've seen it. I've done it. Right? You want to provoke your children to wrath? Moms, I've seen you do it to your husbands. Kids, I've seen you do it to one another. That's practical humility, saying, you know what? I don't need to provoke, irritate. He says, envying one another. Right? Bitter that someone else was blessed and I didn't get the blessing and I didn't get what they got and I don't have what they have. Harboring this bitterness, resentment in my heart. There's a lot of good stuff. I could go on. Ephesians chapter 5, he tells the Ephesians to be humble and gentle, to be patient, to submit themselves one to another. Philippians chapter 2. Go there, actually. Philippians 2, right? This is where it talks of the Lord Jesus Christ, His example. And then in verse 3 of the passage, Paul says in verse 2, he says, fulfill you my joy. He says, you want to make me happy. You want that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So many churches, right, they're looking down on people. They're looking at the weakest people, the ones who have made the biggest mistakes. And when you ought to be saying, that's the kind of people I need to make friends with and be a blessing to. That's why gossip happens. Because you think you're better than someone else. God help us. That's pride. Pride. You got something going on. You go to that person and say, hey, I'm worried. I'm concerned. Problem is, it's just a pride thing, right? And so you don't have enough courage or boldness to go to that person. Destroy a church. We're told to clothe ourselves in humility in Colossians. So it's in our relationships, the way we treat one another, the true meekness and mind of heart and humility of heart is visible. Our humility before God has no value unless it shows itself in our humility, Christ-like humility before men. The humble person will at all times try to follow this rule. I want to take delight in honoring other people. I want to serve one another in love. I want to think of others better than myself. And I want to submit to one another. You say, well, Pastor, how can I think of someone better than me when I know how big of a mess up they are? And that's right. I mean, look at me, man. I got the education, I got the good looks. Amen, Brother John. You laugh. Hurtful, brother. You should have said, amen, Pastor. That's the truth. No, I appreciate it. He's listening. He's thinking. You know, look at them, man. Their life's a mess. They don't have the education. They don't have, right? But the truth of it is, that shows you just how little you understand what humility of mind really means. Because humility of mind, true meekness, comes where in the light of God, there is nothing. You are nothing. We are nothing. And we agree that our lives are not our own. We say, I have lost myself in finding God. It's not about me. Every good gift comes from above. Every good gift, your talents, your education, your mental ability, your good looks if you have them, your health, your children, your wealth, it came from God. But we don't believe it. We think we did it. That's pride. Humility says, it all came from Him. And then if you come to that understanding, you will greet your fellow brother with that realization that you yourself are nothing. You'll not be trying to get something for yourself.